Hey, you want that to go?
So our first news takeout this morning is all about that political takedown in Washington, D.C. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent, joins us. So congressional Democrats were kind of figuring out what to do next based on the result in Massachusetts. Todd?
Hi, good morning, John. Yep, they absolutely are. This whole idea, John, of having the House and Senate agree on a health care bill and then having the Senate, you know, pass it with 60 votes while it can before Scott Brown gets to Washington seems to be completely off the table now. Listen to Harry Reid from yesterday.
We're not going to rush into anything. We're going to wait until the new senator arrives before we do anything more on health care.
Now, Todd, can you decode that for me? What's deep in the text there?
All right. Well, on the face of it, we're not going to do anything. Democrats have decided it would be politically unsavory to ram something through on health care before Scott Brown gets there when they still have 60 votes. Fine. The subtext, though, is that health care still has to get done. They want to move on to other things. It's been out here long enough. And where's all the pressure now? Harry Reid has thrown all the pressure back onto Nancy Pelosi in the House. That's what he's done with that statement, because it still has to pass. And remember, we sort of mentioned yesterday, I think, that one of the only options they have now is to have the House simply pass the bill that the Senate has already passed. Now, the House hates that bill, and they would have to do a whole bunch of other maneuvers to make it palatable to a lot of the liberals and progressives and even some of the conservatives, frankly, everybody in the Democratic side in the House. So Reid has just thrown it all on Nancy Pelosi there. So story's in the House now.
Well, the pressure for some House members might actually be welcome, since they're sick and tired of being ignored for so long. But Congress is moving on some hate legislation. Let's talk about that before we go.
Yeah, a whiff of bipartisanship. Yesterday, the House passed unanimously, John, a bill. Listen just to the details really quickly. Anything you give to Haiti between January 11th, which is when the earthquake was in Haiti, and March 1st, you can write off of your 2009 taxes. So you can take the deduction right away. You just have to show a phone bill showing the contribution and the name of the organization. The Senate should pass it today unanimously. So a whiff of bipartisanship so that make it a little bit easier for people to give to Haiti.
Congress doing something. There we go. Todd Zwillick, Washington correspondent. Thanks, Todd.
A whiff of coffee now in our takeout money session. After losing a lot of steam, Starbucks has brewed a venti-sized profit of $241 million for the most recent quarter. Louise Story knows a latte about business.
Oh, my God.
I'm sorry. I can't stop.
This is pretty corny.
She covers it for our partner, the New York Times. Hello, Louise. How did Starbucks make such a good comeback here?
Good morning. It is a pretty good comeback. This is quadruple the profit from a year ago. You know, the thing is that Starbucks is sort of an economic indicator. It's the luxury coffee indicator.
It's a leading indicator, isn't it?
It is.
That's the first thing you'd cut out.
Right. Well, you know, what's interesting is that back in 2007, we saw the housing market deteriorating. But of course, it did not become widespread and known that there was a recession until 2008. You remember it was the fall of 2008 when your stock portfolio tumbled dramatically. But back in 2007, when we only saw early indicators, the last quarter of 2007 is when Starbucks profits and the transactions at its store started stumbling. So it stumbled early. And now a couple years later, when people are saying the economy looks like it's getting a little better, Starbucks looks like it's improving.
So this is actually really something that economists and the street should be watching. Coffee sales at Starbucks.
Possibly. I mean, the other explanation is that Howard Schultz, you know, who is their very famous founder,
He's like the Steve Jobs of coffee.
He is the Steve Jobs of coffee. He had left day-to-day running of the company. He came back a couple years ago. He
was, like Steve Jobs.
Right,
had to come
exactly.
back, right?
He came back. He was dismayed by their growth. He said, there are too many stores. We've lost our spirit. And so he's really brought back the entrepreneurial spirit. That has helped. But, you know, sales are up. And I think, you know, the question I'm kind of wondering, maybe throw it out to the listeners is, you know, are we starting to feel good enough about the economy again, safe
leading
in our
indicator.
Jobs, yeah. that we'll go out and buy a $5 macchiato? Will you buy a macchiato?
I don't know if I'd buy a macchiato. I need to pronounce it first. I might spend more at Starbucks. But Jack Welch famously used to say over at General Electric years ago that when people buy light bulbs, that's a sign that the economy is coming back. These retail symbols are interesting.
So wait a minute. Were they in the dark when they...
Well, no, when people stock up on light bulbs, they feel confident about the economy. That's what he used to say. Yeah.
Otherwise, they read by candlelight. All right. Louise Story. She'll be back with more a little bit later. Our takeout this morning on business.
Our last takeout comes from the voices of our listeners. Tuesday's stunning defeat for Democrats in Massachusetts got a lot of people wondering about why that loss up there in Massachusetts. What do our listeners say?
Hi, this is Kelly from Pittsburgh. The Massachusetts election speaks to the way independents feel about what's gone on the health care issue, because what good is health care reform if it's not actually going to help anybody? The House reform, the states can opt out, and the Senate, it's too expensive. So I'm kind of glad Scott Brown got in, even though I'm not really a Scott Brown fan.
Writing from Detroit, I'm really frustrated by the idea that the American people once again seem not to be able to make their mind up about what they want to do. Clearly need a national health care system, and obviously this is not the way to get it.
An independent voice and a frustrated voice there, and you can reach us, join the conversation at 877-8-MY-TAKE or weigh in at mytake@thetakeaway.org. So did Democrats lose because of the health care issue, or maybe it was political incompetence?
This is Jeff from Brooklyn. I'm frustrated because this election up in Boston is not, I don't see it as a referendum against Obama. We had a weak candidate with a bad campaign running against Brown.
This is Paul from Livermore, California. You know, I don't know why Democrats are so shocked at Martha Coakley's defeat, considering how ineptly her campaign was run. I mean, she lost to a Ken doll. What, did Obama make you think that the Democrats had finally figured out how to win elections? Obama was the exception. The Democratic ranks are still full of horrible campaign people.
Meanwhile, some of you thought it was about time. We got this email. No one, no matter how much good they have done, should hold a Senate seat for almost 50 years. That spells entitlement. And that is apparently how the Democrats lost the seat, by taking it for granted. But looking back at it, we got one simple way to describe the Democrats' loss.
Scott Brown displacing Ted Kennedy. It's like Lawrence Welk replacing Toscanini.
8778, my take. Top of that.
There's a lot going on right now. Mounting economic inequality, threats to democracy, environmental disaster, the sour stench of chaos in the air. I'm Brooke Gladstone, host of WNYC's On the Media. Want to understand the reasons and the meanings of the narratives that led us here, and maybe how to head them off at the pass? That's On the Media's specialty. Take a listen wherever you get your podcasts.